Hallelujah. You can find where you're sitting, but my custom is to stand for the reading of God's word. Sometimes you have to take the pulse of a moment, and you have to realize as a leader in atmospheres and environments, what is it time for? And it's not time for an announcement that's going to tell you about what's coming this week. It's time for an announcement to tell you what's coming for eternity. Come on, somebody. So I want the ushers to come very quickly. We're going to receive the offerings, and then we're going to step right into the word. I'm going to tell you, I love the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Come on, somebody. But I want to thank you for being so faithful. I want to hear from people in the room as you're standing for the reading of God's word. If the Lord's been faithful to you, make a little noise in the house right now. If you're a tither and a giver and you don't mind making that announcement with your praise, make that announcement right now if you give to God. Let me tell you why I give to God and I tithe. And we're doing so much for the Lord right now in the way of outreach, evangelism, missions, you name it, we're doing it. But when I give to God, I am making an announcement that I am partnering with His plan. When I sow my tithes and my offerings, I don't give it out of, my dad would say, religiosity. Come on, somebody. But I give it out of the fact that I want to partner with what God is doing. Because when it's all said and done, the things that are eternal are the things that matter most. Come on, somebody. And the work that we are doing here is legacy work. Can I get a witness right here? But what it also does when I give to God, it breaks the curse of the enemy, because the devil wants me cursed, but God wants me blessed. And it breaks stinginess off of my life. What I found out is the only people that have problem with giving are stingy people. Come on. I've never received an email from a generous person that says, "Why, Apostle, are you still receiving offerings after all these years?" Because there's people in this room who understand that your source is not a stock market. Your source is not your job. Jehovah Jireh is your source. Come on. And you want what you have to be partnered with God. If you haven't jumped into the adventure of giving, I challenge you to do that now. You by live stream, I want you to give as well. We welcome you. All of our guests that are here, I'm going to be in the back shaking hands. We'd love for you to fill out our guest information card. As you're giving, you can give online, text, or give in an envelope. So I'm going to pray over this offering, and then I'm going to get right into the word. Hold up the offerings before the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, "I don't even know what to give." Well, you spell billion, B-I. Hey, you don't never know who's in the house. Come on, somebody. So I pronounce a blessing over you. You by live stream, you come to this church, you are faithful givers. I bless you as you give. Lord, we receive already your bountiful blessing. Somebody say bountiful blessings. Lord, that means you've blessed us more than we deserve, and we wave our hands to say thank you. Thank you for blessings, Lord, that are financial and tangible, but God, thank you for blessings that money cannot buy. I honor you in Jesus' name. We're looking right now to 1 Kings chapter 21. I'll seat you in just a moment. I promise I'm going to let you sit down. I'll be standing a long time after you sit down. Come on. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things, somebody say after these things, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, note Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden. Because it is near to my house, it is next to me, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid." Somebody say, "The Lord forbid." "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. I want to talk to you, precious, for a few minutes along these lines, sacred soil. You have to determine what's not for sale. There are some things, honey, that are not for sale. I'll say that again because I feel like only four of you heard me. I said there are some things that are too sacred to sell. Come on. Now we're talking about awakening hunger. We're talking about revival, precious. And what you've got to understand as part of awakening hunger and revival is understanding the things you won't release or let go of. How many of you got some intangibles in your life and there's some things you won't sell? If that's you, raise up your hands right now. Father, thank you that this house and everyone in it, this ministry is sacred soil. When people sowed today, they didn't just sow into a church. They sowed into soil, soil that is sacred. So today, Lord, we are awakening hunger. We are declaring that this summer is not a regular summer, but it's a summer of revival. It's a summer of awakening. It's a summer, can I say, Lord, of hunger. And I feel in the room a collective, have your way, Jesus, in this atmosphere. Lord, we submit to you and we love you. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Now, somebody who's not ashamed to praise him, give him a radical praise right now. Will you do it? Come on, if you don't even care what your neighbor thinks. Come on, even if you argued with your husband on the way here, go ahead and praise him and shout the mess right on out of you. Come on, say, I'm not even going to be mad. All right, be seated. I came to declare today in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord that I serve, the God that I pursue, my everything and my all in all, that there are some things that are not for sale. And when we look into this text, it's so powerful because I believe that Naboth viewed this soil as sacred soil. So I come to declare here today to this Calvary family in Ormond Beach, to all five of our campuses throughout the state, all 10 of our campuses in the nation, I want to be loud and I want to be clear, not everything is negotiable. I said, not everything is negotiable. Not everything is up for sale. See, we must never be willing to trade covenant for convenience. We must never be willing to trade the fire of what we felt today for fitting in. Come on, somebody. We must never be willing to trade presence for performance. Because what we had here in this service today, we had some great singing and we had some awesome musicians. But what we unlocked here today was not a performance, it was the presence of God. And what shifts the atmosphere is not performance, it's presence. And I'll tell you, on this stage, we never want performance. We only want pursuit and praise. Because at the end of the day, we don't perform, we worship. And then after we worship, God shows up and he performs. I said the only performer in the house is the Lord himself. So I'm here today sensing in this church and in churches that I go to and in churches that I cover, I'm sensing a holy resistance. I am sensing a rising and an awakening hunger in the earth that there is a remnant church who wants more of God. There's a radical people rising. I feel like this is a radical house. At least this area is radical. And this area is radical. Come on, and in the overflow, y'all are radical up there. And online, you're radical. Come on. I feel like there is a radical remnant that is rising in the earth that is declaring we want awakening and revival, and the sacred is not for sale. Now, in the context, precious, of this amazing, awesome story, Naboth's land here is more than just land. His vineyard represents more than land. It is legacy. It's more than land. it's legacy. I'm going to use a word here. It's more than property. It's patrimony. You say, what is patrimony? Patrimony is an ancestral deposit. It's something that came from another generation. And I'm here to tell you that many of us are carrying something so sacred, so holy, so precious, so God-breathed, that we couldn't sell it even if we wanted to. Now, I want you to pay close attention to where I'm going and to where I'm headed today, because this is of urgent importance. I believe if I've ever heard God for a moment, your moment, it's this moment. Somebody say, this is my moment. So if you're taking notes or you're taking pics, this is the one to take right here. Number one, we must not sell what we did not buy. Are you with me? The pressure today, almost like never before, that I'm seeing in the church in America and the greater church is very often to sell what is sacred. But we cannot sell what is sacred for what is secular. Naboth didn't plant the vineyard. He inherited it. And he refused to sell what he did not buy. The Hebrew word for inheritance here is nakalah, meaning a God-ordained allotment, a sacred trust, precious, that is passed down through covenant. This was more to Naboth than dirt. This was destiny. This had been something that was delivered to him, and it had been treasured and protected by the generations that went before him. It had been treasured and protected by those that had come before him. And now, listen closely, it was his turn. See, what we got to understand in this moment, it's our turn. It's our turn to protect legacy. It's our turn to protect this divine deposit that has been made in us from the generations before us. And I want to tell you about what we carry. What we carry, church, did not originate with us. It's the product of sacrifice. It's the product of blood, fire, and generations of faithfulness. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, it didn't start with you. Yeah, it didn't start with you, but possibly it could end with you. It could end with you if you don't have a made-up mind as it relates to legacy. But I am here today, and I understand my assignment. Maybe it did not start with me, but in the mighty name of Jesus, it will not end with me. I need somebody to push your neighbor and just say, it's not going to end with me. Yeah. From the early church, think about it, all the way from the upper room, from the early church down through to the martyrs, generations have gone before us. They endured fierce fire. We are here because of their faithfulness. We're in the room today because of their determination. I'm here today. This place is alive with faith today because someone before us made a deposit in us. We are here today because of the generosity of those that have gone before us. Many of us were saved in environments that we never tithed in or gave in or served in. We sat in seats we never paid for. We sat in buildings we never sold into. And it happened because somebody before us was faithful. And I have made up in my mind, I'm going to honor what came before me, but I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to be a part of legacy. It's awesome to me. When I look at all the sacrifice that preceded me, the deposit, the determination, the generosity, the fire, and the faithfulness, even this Pentecostal fire, this Holy Spirit that you felt in the room. Some of you are here today and you've never been in an environment like this. You've never been where people worship in the Spirit. You've never been, and I get letters and I get notes from people who say, you know, you're only supposed to have this many messages in tongues. And if somebody speaks in tongues, there has to be an interpretation. This is true if it is in an environment where somebody is speaking in tongues by themselves, but there is something called worshiping in the Spirit. And that is when we collectively let the Lord worship through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have made up in my mind that I'm not going to disguise who we are. And I'm not going to put the Holy Spirit off the table and move him out of the room. I know that if we welcome the Holy Spirit, everything that he is comes in the room with him. Some of you say every time you give an altar call, dozens of people are saved, Apostle. Every time you open the altars, scores of people come forward. How is that possible? I think it happens because we're not hiding the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to be in an environment where we don't hide the Holy Spirit? This has been passed to me, this Pentecostal fire that we all walk in. It was prayed through by our grandmothers and grandfathers. They would not be denied their children and their grandchildren. They knew how to contend for revival. They were not afraid to weep. The old timers used to quote the Old Testament, between the porch and the altar. What does that mean? That means that in Bible days, when the priest would go in to minister, he would go to make sacrifice at the altar. And the porch is where the people were. It's where the people who needed forgiveness and redemption and hope, they gathered underneath a porch at the temple in Jerusalem. And between the porch and the altar was called the weeping zone. And the priest that did not go behind the veil, they would lay in that weeping zone and they would weep between the porch and the altar. And they would connect an unrighteous generation to a righteous God. I'm glad that we got some altar people in the house today. I'm glad that we got some folk who know how to weep between the porch and the altar, who's telling every devil, you can't have my children, you can't have my daughter, you can't have my son, it's my turn, and I will weep between the porch and the altar. I will, y'all help me, I will make a deposit in the next generation. We are here today because of those praying, believing grandmothers and grandfathers who knew how to contend. Are there any contenders here today? Are you a contender? This uncompromising word that I've preached for so long was not originated by us or by me. We inherited it. We inherited the B-I-B-L-E. Come on. We inherited the Word of God. It was preserved by the prophets. It was preserved by preachers who were stoned and imprisoned. It was preserved by those who were burned alive, but they were never silenced. It was held on, young person, by those who went through it to declare it, but they never were silenced. And I worry about preachers today because they'll quit preaching because someone talked about them on Facebook. Come on. But I digress. Come on, somebody. Those who have paid a price in every generation down through the years have made the deposit that we walk in now today. And even more recently, I have to take an evaluation of my own life. I have to look at my own self, and I realize now more than ever the price that my dad paid to bring me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The generations before him, my grandfather and my great grandfather, who repented in a tent meeting, who came to the meeting drunk, falling off a horse and came to shoot up the meeting. But in that meeting, Holy Spirit conviction got a hold of him. And my great grandfather on my grandmother's side won my grandfather to Jesus. And my grandfather then put the deposit of Jesus in my daddy. And now that's in me from my father. And now I placed it in these girls and that boy that's running lightens and these girls that sang worship today. It didn't stop with me. Is there anybody here today? You have made up in your mind, it's not going to stop with me. This is a generational assignment. I think about my dad. You say, Apostle, what did your dad leave you? My father didn't leave me anything in the way of houses. He didn't leave me a piece of property. He left me no land. He left me no resources. He left me no wealth that can be determined by dollars and cents. He didn't leave me any stocks, no bonds, no annuities. But he left me something that money cannot buy. I need to find at least 12 people who are tracking with me. He left me something that money cannot buy. He convinced me that Jesus is real. He convinced me that he's a savior and a deliverer. He made a deposit in me of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He awakened a hunger in me for revival and awakening. I learned to worship by watching him. I learned to praise God by watching him. I learned how to love people by watching him. He's gone, but what he put in inside of me is living on, and now I'm putting it in you. I said I'm putting it in you, and you're putting it in your family, and I'm putting it in my children. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I gotta give God praise for the legacy that's been left to me. If you can praise God for any kind of legacy, you ought to open up your mouth and I'm afraid that we spend too much time giving too much credence and power to people who hurt us. We are giving too much time to an offense. We talk too much about who did us wrong and church hurt and all the other stuff. We spend so much time articulating everybody that did us wrong and everything that they did. But sometimes you need to stop and drop that mess and say, I'm no longer giving that power in my life, and let me praise God for everybody who helped me. Let me praise God for everybody who left a deposit in me. Let me praise God for everybody who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Let me praise God for the person who presented the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I dare somebody right now, if you can praise God for everybody that did good for you, give God a praise right now. I learned from my dad. I learned how to be kind to mean people. I learned how to forgive. I learned how to keep my mouth off of folks. Come on, somebody. I learned so much from his example because he left me something. And now, as I'm getting older, I'm plagued with the burning question, what am I leaving behind? I'm plagued with the question that every wise person ought to be asking yourself today, what am I leaving behind? What is the deposit that I'm making in the next generation? What am I doing with what God has given me? We in this room today are only here because someone left a legacy. This is why we must not sell what we did not buy. I better say that again. We must not sell what we did not buy. We are stewards, we are not owners. We are stewards of this message. We are stewards of this moment. We are stewards of this ministry. But you can understand me or not, but it's the truth. We are even stewards of our own lives. We are stewards of our own resources. We are stewards of every moment that we live. Somebody say, I'm a steward. Yeah, yeah. And what I want you to understand about Ahab, Ahab didn't want just any land. He wanted legacy land. He wasn't just after any land. He was after the legacy land. The devil isn't fighting you today over random ground. The devil is not fighting you today over ground that does not matter. The devil is fighting you over sacred ground. Listen to me, preachers, if you are watching me across the nation, and many of you do, the devil is fighting you over sacred ground, not random ground. The devil is fighting you in this room over sacred ground. He wants your worship. He wants our doctrine, our truth of the Bible. He wants our standard of holiness. He wants us to stop declaring this is the way. He wants us to stop declaring righteousness. He's after our Pentecostal fire. He wants your purpose. He wants your passion. He wants your praise. He wants your prayer. He wants your burden for the lost. He's after your vision. He wants your hunger. He's after your thirst. He wants your passion. He wants your direction. But there are some of us who have made up in my mind, in their mind, devil, there are some things you cannot touch, and there are some things that are not for sale, and there are some things you cannot have, because I am a legacy person. I want all the legacy people. Open up your mouth now like you believe this is a legacy moment. We have to have a legacy house, and we cannot have a legacy mindset without understanding that we cannot sell what we did not buy. We cannot afford to let the enemy take this sacred soil. Remember, he's not after just any ground or random ground. He's after sacred ground. He wanted Naboth's vineyard. Now, don't miss this. He wanted the vineyard in Jezreel. And that may not sound very pertinent. It may not sound important until you define the word Jezreel. Jezreel is the Hebrew word that means God sowed it. Tell your neighbor, God sowed it. Somebody raise up your hands if you don't mind and say, God sowed it. Yeah, yeah, everything I have, I've got to admit it, God did it. Come on now. Every blessing that I have, God sowed it. I'm walking in favor today because God sowed it. I'm saved today because God sowed it. I'm in my right mind because God sowed it. I'm not dead and buried because God sowed something better in my life. I didn't do it myself. And there will be people in your life that can't handle what God does for you. They can't handle your confidence. They can't handle your peace. They can't handle your gift. They can't handle your blessing. They can't handle your favor. They can't handle your authority. They can't handle your preaching, your worship, your praise. Whatever it is, they resent it. They're mad about it. They're upset about it. But tell your neighbor, it's not my fault. Yeah, yeah, it's not my fault that I'm more than a conqueror. It's not my fault that I am victorious in the mighty name of. It's not my fault that I'm blessed. It's not my fault that I got joy when my whole family is swallowed up in depression. It's not my fault that I was able to make it and some people didn't. All I can tell you is when I didn't have it, God sowed it. When I couldn't do it, God gave me what I needed to do it. When I couldn't open it, God opened it. When I couldn't shift it, God shifted it. When I couldn't move it, God moved it. And if you're here today and you know, You're way beyond where you should be, but you're only there because God sowed it. If this is a Jezreel moment, give him a praise right now. Tell your neighbor, it's not my fault. Yeah, God sowed it. You're gonna have to let people get mad if they want to. So I want you then to understand that the enemy is not after random ground. He's after sacred ground. The enemy is after what is sacred in our lives. The enemy is not after your car. He does not care about your hoopty. Come on, somebody. He does not care about your truck. He is not after your house. He is not after your job. He is not even after your title.
Oh, Jesus.
He could care less about your title. What the enemy is after, he is after everything that God has sown in your life. I said he's after everything that God has sown in your life. So he's after your salvation. He's after your purpose. He's after your ability to hear the Lord. He wants to be a wrong voice in your ear. He's after your generous spirit. He's after your joy, your worship, your peace, your legacy, your family, and your anointing. Anything that God has deposited in your life that will do this generation good, that will do you good, that is eternal, the enemy wants it. And what did Naboth say to Ahab? When Ahab made that requisition and that request and that demand, here it's about to get deep, but I felt like I got to go a little bit deep today. Watch this. He said in the third verse, "The Lord forbid, the Lord forbid that I should give this sacred soil, the legacy, the inheritance of my fathers to you." He said, "The Lord forbid," not culture forbid, not the Democrats forbid, not the Republicans forbid, not the religious peer pressure forbid. Y'all ain't saying too much. Not the Assemblies of God forbid. Not the Church of God forbid. Not the Kojic forbid. Not the AME forbid. Not the Methodist forbid. Not the Pope forbid. Not some prophet, some pastor, some preacher forbid. But he said, "The Lord forbid." He said, "How could I do a thing like this? The Lord forbid." And I stand before you today and I'm trying to stay in a teaching mode, but I feel a moment, preachers that are watching me. I feel a moment, family in this house, that is so importantly necessary. You that are watching by live stream, I say today, the Lord forbid that we should ever sell this legacy. The Lord forbid that we should ever sell services like this and say, "Holy Spirit, you can't come in and you're on the clock. Don't have your way." The Lord forbid that we should stop laying on of hands. The Lord forbid that we should shut down the altar. The Lord forbid that we should crack a personality and exalt him above the presence of God. The Lord forbid that we don't walk in a prophetic unction. The Lord forbid that our children are not delivered. The Lord forbid. I'm telling you, I don't care what superintendents and bishops and all those have to say. If it pulls me away from the reality that I got to have Jesus and I got to have legacy, if you want it, open up your mouth and praise God like you do. Somebody say, "The Lord forbid." The Lord forbid. I say today, the Lord forbid that I should ever stop being hungry. The Lord forbid that I should never, ever, ever, ever allow myself to not be the lead worshiper in this house. The Lord forbid. Somebody say, the Lord forbid. The Lord forbid that we should drop this moment and not realize our legacy. The Lord forbid. See, we have to have revival. We have to have power. And I would say today, leaders and people in the church, don't sell your inheritance, can I say it, of tongues, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just to fit in. Don't trade your boldness in God for the applause of men. Don't sell the truth of God's word, preacher, just to be relevant. Hear me now. The Lord forbid. I said, the Lord forbid. I said, the Lord forbid. Glory be to God. We are not going to sell what we did not buy. You say, why, Pastor? Why, Apostle? Number two. Because sacred soil can't be replaced and it can't be replicated. This is the high value of inheritance. I don't care how good the music is. If it's not full of praise, it's just good music. I don't care how gifted the orator is behind the pulpit. If he's not preaching the word, he is just a good speaker. He is not a man after God's heart delivering transformational truth that can set the captive free and feed hungry saints as they embark to overcome the enemy and make it all the way to heaven. Don't miss this now. For 2 Kings 21:2. So Naboth said, watch now, we're about to go somewhere. Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because, watch, it is near, next to my house, and I, for it, I will give you a better vineyard than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money. Now, I need you to zero in on that. Ahab offered Naboth what he called a better vineyard. He said, I'll give you another one that's worth more. It's a better vineyard. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard because it was near. It was next door. It was next to the palace. It was convenient. It was close to his house. It was an easy thing. Just give it to me because it's convenient. But I would warn you, we must never trade covenant for convenience and truth for trends. Oh my, I know I've already dove too deep. I know I've already dove too deep. We must never trade covenant for convenience or truth for trends. And this thing that we do called worship, this thing we do called praise, these things we do called prayer, it's not always convenient. This perseverance of witnessing and travailing, it's not always convenient. And in Genesis 15, we understand that it is costly, because when God entered into covenant with man, with Abraham, the words in the King James and New King James Version, the modern translations say he made the covenant, but the ancient Hebrew translation would read differently. It says he cut the covenant. He didn't make the covenant, he cut the covenant. In other words, there was a sacrifice. In other words, animals had to die. In other words, that covenant cost something. That covenant was sacred because it cost something. We must never allow the enemy to cause us to trade covenant for convenience. Naboth knew something else as well. There is no substance substitute for the sacred. There is no substitute for the glory of God. I don't care how many lights you get. There is no substitute for the power of God. We must realize in this season, the call on this house, it is sacred soil. And we are called to do sacred work. And we cannot replicate anointed preaching with trendy motivational talks. Come on, somebody. We can't be trendy and not be powerful. We cannot replace Pentecostal power with polished performance. And we can never substitute fire with cool lighting. We still need the power and presence of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hear me. There's only one Bible. There's no substitute for the Word. There's only one upper room. There's no substitute. That's singular power, singular truth. There's only one cross that provides singular redemption. Come on now. There's only one Holy Spirit, and He doesn't. There's only one Holy Spirit. Fasten your seatbelts. There's only one Holy Spirit, and He doesn't flow through compromise. He's not going to come into a room where whoremongers are on the stage. He's not going to come into a room that is filled with immorality and unrighteousness and gossip and slander. No, the Holy Spirit wants to find a house that is in unity, that can welcome His power. There is no substitute. Now, what did Ahab say to Naboth? Are you tracking with me? What did he say? Don't miss this, because this is of supreme importance. He said, I'll give you a better vineyard. I got something better. The church must beware of the better vineyard culture. We have a better vineyard mentality. Powerless services may look easy, and they are easy in the short term. They may look powerful, and they may look better, but they are barren. You can always make worship services flashier to attract but that doesn't attract the King. If our worship services are flashier, but they don't attract the King, they are fruitless. Predictable, man-controlled church. Listen, preachers. Listen, leaders. It may seem easy. It doesn't take a lot of investment. It doesn't take a lot of prayer or passion or standard or pursuit. But in the end, if people aren't saved, if families aren't restored, if lives aren't putting together, then it's worthless. Hear me. Ahab offered a supposed better vineyard. He offered money. I'll give you money. And let me tell you, the enemy will always try to buy your voice. The enemy will always try to buy your worship, buy your praise. If you're a preacher, the enemy's trying to buy your voice. Be careful to make... Be careful when you make ministry about money. Come on, somebody. Because let me tell you what I've learned. If money will make you talk, it will also keep you quiet. But God is trying to raise up a remnant preacher who will stand in the pulpit in the last days and preach to hungry people who say, don't tickle my ears, don't give me a half message, don't put me in a casual service, but put me in a place where there is power from on high, and teach me the truth of God's word so that I may be changed forever into His likeness. Listen, this pulpit is not for sale. This voice is not for sale. My God, are you ready, preachers? Let's give God praise that remnant preachers are rising. Whew. The enemy will always try to dress compromise up in better clothes. But our worship is not for sale. Our praise is not for sale. Because you cannot manufacture a move of God with talent and trends. You cannot manufacture a move of God with technique. It comes through travail. It comes through encounter. See, Ephesians 1:14 says the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit, not denominationalism, not entertainment, not membership, but the Holy Spirit. And then Jude said this. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. What does that mean? That means that we in this church and on our campuses, and now you, because you are a legacy person, we will contend. Okay, let me hear from at least 500 contenders out of this big crowd today. There's a lot more than that here. Look down your row and say, this is the contending row. Come on. This row is contending that the enemy can't have my son. I don't care what it looks like. The enemy can't have my daughter, my destiny. The enemy can't have my purpose. The enemy can't have my anointing. I am a contender. I want all the contenders. Come on. Come on. Deputize your whole row. Say, come on. Just raise your hands. You ready? I deputize you to be the contender on your row. Now tell everybody on your row, get with it. Get with it. Get with it. I want every contender right now who's in stadium seating, every contender right now. If you're at home and you're not letting the devil have your family, you might ought to stand up in your chair right now and say, devil, you are a liar. I am a contender. Sacred soil. What does that mean? That means we contend. You say, Apostle, why do you sweat? Because I'm contending. We contend. That means we contend for the cross and the blood. We contend for the Bible, and it's still inerrant and it's all true. We contend for Acts 2 fire. We contend for speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I still believe in casting out devils. I still believe in laying on hands. I still believe in radical praise. Come on. I still believe in shouting. If you've been doubting, just start shouting. If you've been mourning, just start dancing. If you've been heavy, just start praising. If you've been doubting, just start shouting. Just start shouting. Just start shouting. If you've been mourning, just start dancing. If you've been heavy, just start praising. If you've been doubting, just start shouting. 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 Just you think I just started shouting? You think I needed that song to shout? Baby, I've been shouting for years, and I'm contending with this generation. I covenant with you as long as I live. I'm gonna get more radical. As long as I live, I'll dance more, shout more, praise more, worship more, pray more, preach more, study more, prepare more. I'm not slowing down, I'm speeding up. I'm putting the pedal to the metal, and I'm saying, devil, I cannot sell my inheritance. You say, why do you do it? Because it's my inheritance, baby. This is my inheritance, and I will not sell. Yeah. What I did not buy. I will not sell what I did not buy. Hey. Now. I can't deny it. We cannot sell what we did not buy. But the third thing I want to show you, there's a cost to keep what's holy. It may cost you something. Preacher, it may cost you stages and opportunities. But Naboth didn't sell, and he died for it. But here's what I've decided. I would rather die with my integrity than live with compromise. And if there comes a moment where people don't want to hear the truth, I will go right in my living room, make Dawn sit down, and I will preach to her till she repents. Come on, somebody. Till she's called to preach. I'm not doing this for crowds or applause. This is my inheritance. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Ahab was obsessed with the vineyard of Naboth. But I'm going to tell you something. I would rather, as I said, die with my integrity than live with compromise. It's better. Somebody say it's better. It's better to be hated for holiness than celebrated for shallowness. I would rather people look at me and say, he's too much. I would rather people look at me and say, man, his message is antiquated. There's altar calls. This message, he's all about holiness. He opens up the altars. He lays hands on people. I would rather be hated for holiness than celebrated for shallowness. I would rather be hated for a gospel that will pull someone who's in sexual sin right out of their bondage. I would rather be hated for preaching a gospel that will set a drug addict free and put a broken marriage back together. My God, is there anybody in this room right now who wants the real thing? Hey. Ahab was so obsessed with Naboth's vineyard. And he wanted to make it, don't miss this, a vegetable garden. I wonder if he wanted to grow squash. We got plenty of people growing squash in the kingdom. They want to squash the altar. They want to squash worship. They want to squash praise, good God Almighty. But hear me in this room. The vineyard in this story to me, it represents the move of God. To me, the palace represents control. It represents man's agenda. It represents corruption. Ahab wanted to replace fruit with vegetables. Okay, I'm gonna wipe the sweat off my eyes and give you just a minute to let that hit you right in your sanctified soul. He wanted to replace fruit with vegetables. He wanted something fleshly, something temporary, something convenient. The vineyard, to me, like I said, it represents the move of God. He wanted worship without consecration. He wanted revelation without repentance. He wanted miracles without the message, but God doesn't grow vegetables. God produces fruit. God ain't growing rutabagas. God ain't growing collard greens. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you would bear much fruit and that fruit will remain. Just look at your neighbor. If you don't mind, if you're scared of them, just look straight ahead and they'll know that you're afraid of them. Come on. But if you don't mind, I know this is too much in many circles, but just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we are not palace people. We are vineyard people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This ain't a palace church. This is a vineyard church. This is a church where the word of God goes forth. This is a church where people grow. If you're a vineyard person, I want all the vineyard people to open up your mouth and give God praise. Hallelujah. You see, this vineyard that we have here at Calvary on every and on every campus, this is sacred soil. And sacred soil, that's what Naboth understood that he had. Because his soil, this sacred soil, was producing something that Ahab would not and could not grow. My God, this sacred soil right here is Calvary. It's producing something that Washington, D.C. cannot grow. Come on now. It's producing something. This sacred soil is producing something that Silicon Valley and AI cannot manufacture. It is artificial intelligence. But baby, you've come into a room where Jesus is real, where the power is real, where the anointing is real, where salvation is real. But hear me, the vineyard cost our father something. It cost Azusa something. It cost the martyrs something. It cost the blood, the prayer, the fasting, the consecration. So you say, Apostle, why are you so radically determined that Calvary will remain sacred soil? Because number four, sacred soil will produce a supernatural harvest. Sacred soil is where God's glory comes. It's where the glory of the Lord grows. In Jesus' name, see, worship services like today that turned the church on its ear, that made me move in a way that we didn't even have announcements and we probably needed to, but we needed the glory more. In Jesus' name, this is sacred soil where the glory grows. In Jesus' name, we are awakening hunger in this hour. In Jesus' name, we will not sell this sacred soil, this Pentecostal message, this atmosphere of worship, this blood-bought gospel worked for my dad and my granddad, and it's going to work for me. Hallelujah. I've kept hold of it this long, and I'm trying to close, but I'm not going to sell it now. It's sacred soil. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, say, hold your ground. Yeah. If you're believing for your son, hold your ground. If you're believing for salvation for your family, hold your ground. If you're believing that you're going to be a part of a church that has a voice in the last days, who's ready to hold your ground with me? Yeah, because I know when the church gets quiet, the culture gets loud. I said when the church gets quiet, the culture gets loud. But I feel like we got some people here who want to hold your ground. Tell your neighbor, hold your ground. When the church gets cold, the world gets darker. But when the church stands its sacred ground, my God, when we refuse to sell out, when we hold our vineyard, revival breaks out again. Let the preachers preach holiness. Let them rise up who will preach the truth. Let the prophets rise up and cry out against bondage and sin. Let the intercessors rise up who will groan in the spirit. Let the worship leaders rise up who don't want to entertain but say, Holy Ghost, come in. Let the youth pastors rise up who will call a generation higher. Let the mamas rise up who won't lose one child. Let the daddies rise up who will tell the devil, I'm holding this ground. If you go hold your ground, jump on your feet right now and give God a praise. Come on. I came with a prophetic warning for this generation. Ahab is still looking. Jezebel is still scheming. And the church today is still standing at the crossroads of compromise and consecration. But there is a remnant that is rising that knows that the soil we have is sacred soil, and this soil is not for sale. Tell everybody in your neighborhood, hold your ground. The devil can't have your family hold your ground. The devil can't have your purpose hold your ground. The devil can't have our message hold your ground. My God, if you want to hold your ground, give the Lord the praise of the whole morning. I feel this. I feel like there's some daughters who've made up in their mind that they're going to hold their ground. I want every radical interceding mighty woman of God that's going to hold your ground. Come on, daughters, lift up your voice right now. Now, I want every man. I'm looking for men. I'm not looking for boys. I'm looking for men that's ready to let the enemy know I'm holding my ground. I'm not going to leave my post. I want every man that will hold your ground. I want the most radical praise you've ever brought God to be lifted up right this moment. Listen to the men shout. Listen to the fathers. Okay, now I want fathers and mothers and men and women, lift up your voice. This is sacred soil. Tell everybody this is sacred soil. I'm not going to sell my family. I'm not going to sell my worship, my convictions, my integrity. I'm not at selling God's word. We won't sell the vineyard many of our forefathers bled to pass down to us. So I say this today in closing. Nobody leave. If you leave, we actually have someone. They're up in the catwalk. Look up there. They've got water balloons. I'm kidding. We won't sell our vineyard because we cannot sell what we did not buy. How can I? I don't want to go. He wouldn't do it, but I would never want to give him cause to do it. Never want to just barely make it to heaven because I sold my vineyard and my father to look at me and say, Jim, how could you? No, I will not sell what I did not buy. There's a price, but will you pay it? We can't replicate sacred soil. We can't reproduce it. Replace fresh fire with cool lights. We can't replace true preaching with trendy talks. No, we cannot sell what we did not buy. We cannot close the altars. The Lord forbid. The Lord forbid that you would walk in this room and not feel the presence of God. The Lord forbid that you would be lost in a moment and not be in an environment where you could be found. The Lord forbid. I won't sell sacred soil. You know why? It's been watered by prayer. It's been fertilized with tears. It's been sealed by the Spirit. And it belongs to the Lord. I cannot sell what I did not buy. So I feel a tenaciousness in my spirit. I feel this radicalness that I'm ready to look the enemy in the face and say, the Lord forbid that I should slow up. That I should give in. That I should cave. Now I close with this. there's a sentence, even a prayer, that the Lord showed me. Because if you get in the Bible, it'll talk to you. And it was in these names, these definitions, of Naboth from Jezreel. So Naboth, the Jezreelite, Naboth's name means fruit. It means the bearer. Jezreel, remember, it means God has sown it. Don't miss it now, because there's a beautiful prayer. You may not even see it yet, but you're going to see it when I say it to you. Naboth's name means fruit. Jezreel's name means God has sown. And when they talked about him, they said, he is Naboth from Jezreel. I see a prayer right there. And that prayer is simply this: may my life become the fruit, Naboth, that God has sown, Jezreel, in this world that so desperately needs Jesus. Somebody raise up your hands now and say this after me. Say, may my life become the fruit that God has sown in this world that so desperately needs Jesus. I'm not gonna sail, 'cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you. So I'm plagued with this question. I was preparing this message this week. The question plagued me. I hate to say it troubled me, but sometimes there's a godly contending that the Holy Spirit does with us, and we are troubled, and trouble is not always bad when the Holy Spirit troubles us. And I was plagued with this question: what am I leaving? The most valuable thing that I leave my children will not be any resources or homes or lands. That's soil, but it's not sacred soil. Hallelujah. The sacred soil, okay, the sacred soil is the soil that God sows. So who wants to leave and not sell sacred soil, but you're going to keep it? Raise up your hands right now. Yadarabakasi. Hallelujah. I want you to come and pray with that young man right there. He's already in the altars. That's okay. That's fine with me. There's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Y'all, the Holy Spirit is in here now. I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you, Lord. Come on up. Come on up. People are coming to repent right now if you need to do that. There's a hunger and a thirst. Oh, yes, I am. I am not waiting. Not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you. Come on, we're having having a moment with the Lord right now. Come on. There's a hunger. There's a hunger. And a thirst. I am desperate. Come on up. Altar workers, y'all better come up. God's about to do a thing. I'm not waiting. If you need to come and make a commitment to the Lord, come up here right now. If you need to come and make a fresh surrender, hallelujah, we're not going to stop this moment. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, come up here right now. If you need a brand new beginning, come up here right now. I'm not waiting. This room right now, there is a fresh surrender, and I don't want you to rush out, because these moments are not manufactured. These moments are made by the atmosphere of worship and by the preaching of the word. But if you have a fresh yes in your spirit, maybe the enemy has been contending and trying to get you to give up or sell out or not have faith to see that God's going to do everything that he said he would do. But if you've got a fresh surrender, I want you to come and stand right here in the front. Come on, you feel compelled to come. As Pastor John sings, it's just a fresh surrender. You're saved, you know you're going to heaven, but this step is your fresh surrender. If you want to come, we're opening the altars right now. Come on, the altars are open. And if you want to come, 1, 2, 3, begin to move. Sing Pastor John, come on. As Pastor John sings, I want you to come. Shema ma ma ma. Get that wife and bring her. You need to get that husband and say, let's go pray for our family right now. You need to get that. You need to get that family member and say, let's go pray for that sister or that brother. Not anymore. Some young person needs to come and surrender. You need to let that offense go. You need to let that pain go. Come on. I'm not away. God is showing this moment for you.
Not anymore.
I need you, Lord.
I need you.
Come on, I'm opening the altars. If you need to come, say, Lord, there's a hunger. Hungry after all these years, sing John.
Can you still be desperate
after
all these years?
I'm still desperate.
Can you still be longing after all these years? Oh, I'm still longing after all these years. I want more.
God's renewing somebody's call. Now, come on. God's reminding you in this atmosphere that his hand is on your life. Somebody raise up your voice and say,
I want more.
I want
more.
Somebody declare, I want more.
I want more.
Throw your hands in the air. So I declare over you right now a supernatural tenacity that makes the declaration, you won't sell. I decree and declare over you today that there are some things too precious to sell. I call your family delivered. I call your purpose realized. I call your daughter to repentance. I call your son to sanctification. Some of you say, Apostle, I'm not seeing it. What should I do? I call over you a tenacity to hold your ground. Lord, we're not going to relent. We're not going to relent. We won't relent until you have it all. I bless you now in the name of Jesus. Now, here's the deal. If somebody's here today in this environment, we're going to keep the altars open. Donna and I will make our way to the back at some point, but we can't rush out of this moment. First of all, who received the word of God in power today? Come on. You know, people will see a moment like we had in worship and say, man, that service was all about the worship. And then they'll hear a word like this and see the altars open and say, man, the service was all about the word. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't all about the worship and it wasn't all about the word. It was all about Jesus. About the stage, it wasn't about the man. You can't replicate or reproduce the sacred thing that God does. So if you're here today and you're not where you need to be with the Lord, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Apostle, I want to give my heart to Jesus. When I count to three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Slip it right up. I said, look at this. Across the room. I see you, buddy. Hallelujah. Now, I want everybody to take your hand and place it on your heart and pray this prayer after me loud and strong. There's people already up here that came to surrender to the Lord. Pray, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, please forgive me for all my sins. Take my heart and wash it clean in your precious blood. I renounce and turn my back on the past. I say goodbye fear. Goodbye anxiety. Goodbye devil. Hello, Jesus. And I'll never be the same. Now, somebody around you prayed that prayer, altar worker, you go to them. If you want to stay in worship, you can. How many of you are not going to sell? Let me hear from you. Okay, I said, how many of you are not going to sell? The altars are open. Let's worship, John. I'll meet some of you guys in the back. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.